At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, the podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus series Extraordinary, created by Emma Moran.
This episode, we're covering Season 2, Episode 3, The Exorcism of Carrie Jackson, written by Emma Moran and directed by Toby McDonald.
All right, so we have a Halloween episode, themed episode, which we haven't had before, which is not something that they've done so far. They haven't had holiday style episodes before. And so like, it's definitely something worth trying. And so like, I mean, you know, it's just,
I didn't love it. And yeah. I'm so sad that I didn't love it because I loved this show so much in season one, and episode one of season two was really promising. And I feel like it's gone downhill.
Well, so I think, and I'll get into this in my points, but actually before we get into like talking about it, let's just go ahead and hit the recap real quick.
Yeah.
It's Halloween and the gang has to face their fears. Jen must confront her fear of intimacy by sincerely telling someone that she loves them without sarcasm or turning it into a joke or literally anything else that she does. Carrie deals with being single for the first time in years by calling on a golden age screen siren to teach her how to be sexy, and it backfires. When Carrie's spirit guest refuses to leave her body, Jen and Cash must perform an exorcism. True love saves the day when Jen sincerely reaches the trapped Carrie with love. Meanwhile, confronted with real-life responsibility, Jez Lord opts out and returns to cat form and has an eventful night. Speaking of that, did he cheat on Jen by sleeping with that cat? I don't know.
I imagine Jen might think so, or at least be very, very uncomfortable about it.
Yeah. Was that cat a person who turned into a cat? Or is that a cat? A cat that turns into a human? I don't know. Or is it just a cat?
It's very uncomfortable for me to think about.
All right. So general impression. We kind of started into it a little bit ago.
Go ahead. It was weak. There were a lot of jokes that fell flat for me, and I felt like there was too much reliance on the shock factor of things like the big penis balloon or inflatable, and ooh, they're in a Halloween store on Halloween. It's spooky. Well, it's not actually. And there just wasn't any twist or extra or surprise to anything. I didn't love it. And I thought the Dahlia character was so annoying and unrealistic. Like, there's no reason that she had to advise Carrie to do things like pretend to fall and grab someone's junk. Like, that's not actually funny.
Yeah. It seems like, and this is just me, it seems like they have, like, the smart writing that we enjoyed so much in season one, even when it was juvenile,
clever.
Yeah, it was smart. It was clever. It was well done. It was not topical, right?
It was unpredictable.
Right. And here, the only one that wasn't necessarily Halloween themed, and I mean, I guess it kind of was, The only one that I really kind of enjoyed was Jizzlord's cat storyline.
I did not enjoy it at all.
Maybe it's a matter of there were things in that storyline that I found funny, or like I thought that the witch flying into the electric lines, I did laugh at that.
Although, why did they have her be somebody with a woman with long reddish hair dressed as a witch when Jen was also dressed as a witch? It was needlessly confusing because I was like, wait, why is Jen on the roof? Why did Jen fly all of a sudden? And I had to like rewind and look at it again. And I was like, oh, but then what? Like, why? There was no need for Jen to be dressed as a witch. So why have this talking about a show I didn't enjoy? Because I just sound like a cranky pants.
I mean, there. So, I just yeah. There were. I mean, there were parts of this that I did find funny. Back to Jizzlord, like his trying to escape capital gains tax.
Yeah.
Cats don't have to pay capital gains tax.
Is it too late to be a slut? Yeah. I mean,
I mean, yeah, finding him naked in a tree, I thought was funny. But what it seemed like, what it felt like to me was that this they tried to do a Treehouse of Horror. And The Simpsons had may have had a Treehouse of Horror episode in their first season, but they also had 25 or 22 or however many episodes. And this one, this is the first time they've tried a thematic one, and
yeah, but
it didn't work for me. It was so, and maybe because it was Halloween, maybe if it was Valentine's Day and they made a themed rom-com style type thing,
they
that
would do
might,
better at that.
yeah, that's what I mean. Like that theme just matches this show better. And the other part to it is that a lot of times where you have a slow plot episode, like the only thing we got as far as plot goes here was that Jizzlord talked about having to take his son to flute lessons and mandarin lessons. That was it. Like
Yeah.
we didn't have any we didn't have any moving forward of the plot and interactions with what's his wife's name?
Oh, Nora.
Nora. We didn't have any interactions with
We
Nora.
did get an important revelation about Jen that her core fear, they've discovered what they think is the root cause of her not having a power, and that it's her fear of intimacy.
That's
That's
true.
a major plot point. It's a little, again, predictable. But yeah, it moved that forward. It seemed like not enough episode stretched over the time period. Like that, it just didn't feel fulfilling the way that the show usually does. Like usually at the end of a half an hour episode, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe how much they crushed into that one episode. It was like densely packed with jokes.
Right.
And this felt like, you know, when you watch like a Saturday Night Live skit and you're like, they should have stopped after the first joke. It's not funny anymore. It kind of felt like that.
Yeah, I mean, even the return of the vet,
So disappointing.
I was very, yeah, disappointing is the right word. I mean,
The
just
things that were so funny about the vet last season were the incredibly depressed animals. And he had the he headphones so that we didn't get to hear any of the depressed animals, and how like desperate and depressed he was in that life. And with the headphones, and then basically what's another penis joke about like Jizzlord maybe getting spayed or neutered. Is it spayed for females and
Yes,
neutered for
neutered.
males? Yeah. Possibly getting neutered, which it never happens that fast. But like they catch the cat and take it directly to the vet, and then the neutering starts. Like that was ridiculous. But it was basically just another penis joke. And then they knock the vet out and we leave. And like we didn't get any of the stuff that made him so funny. What a waste.
I did think, I mean, it took me at least to my second watch to understand that Reggie was the turtle. And that he was yelling like as he was crawling out of well, very slowly crawling out of the vet's office. Like I did laugh at that.
Yeah.
But I
Then
just
I
thought it
was
was,
like,
yes.
oh, what were all the other animals yelling? Like, we don't get to hear them. They were so funny last time.
Yeah, I mean, even as dark as they were, it was funny. And yeah, I was disappointed in this. And we
And
didn't get
Tito came
to.
back, and we didn't get. First of all, Tito didn't show any signs of having been in a horrific car accident. That was a bummer. I was like, wait, but like they should have had him in be bandaged up or something.
Right.
And then we didn't get the vitriol. That was what was so great about Tito, was how much he hated Jizz Lord. It was hilarious from the little tiny pup. But
Yeah,
like,
no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
yeah.
Yeah, it feels like there were this episode was a multitude of opportunities lost.
Yeah.
Because I think feel like some of the things they could have expounded upon or done slightly differently or majorly differently, and it could have been better. Or at least more enjoyable. Like Dahlia was, I mean, I thought that she was, as a spirit inhabiting Carrie's body or trying to take it over, I thought that that attitude was good, but the evil incarnate attitude of Dahlia, but just the Hollywood starlet slut that you're just like okay, like I
I
mean
didn't
okay.
find it believable. I didn't find her to be funny either. I don't find sexual assault funny. And there are so many ways they could have gone with her being sexy and craving youth that didn't have to be, I don't know, like crude in that
Right.
way. Like
Yeah.
what makes things like calling the cat Jizz Lord, which is a crude joke, what makes that funny and ultimately endearing is that there's a whole bunch of detail and richness to it, of the cat being like, we know where the name came from and that it was a joke and then it stuck and like it works. But like having a
And it's
starlet we've never heard of before.
better than Cum Bucket. I mean,
Yeah,
we're
it
just
is. And he's charming, so we get charmed by it.
right.
But this character we know we're not going to see again, and we're only going to see this one time, for her to be like, and then you just grab their penis. It's like, that
You
doesn't,
really didn't like the grab the penis joke.
I
It's
didn't, I didn't think it was at all funny and at all believable. And I don't know. I just,
I mean, maybe that like I'm not I don't I have no idea if they actually like pulled that reference or that character or style of character from someone in particular or whatever. They use someone as inspiration for that. But yeah, I just like
it's my favorite era of sort of the Hollywood star culture is the sort of screen sirens of the 30s and 40s. I wrote my senior research paper in college about Joan Crawford. It's an era I'm really familiar with, and she was sort of like a Lauren Bacall, Rosalind Russell, Joan Crawford, Bette Davis combo. And I can see any of those women being manipulative, using sex as a weapon, using sex for power, being a little evil, being, strategic, being drunk, being over-sexualized, but not being like stupid and aggressive in that crude way. It's just not, it felt like a first draft of a joke.
right. I get that. All right. So, we were both kind of disappointed by this. So let's go ahead and move on. Rather than humiliation of the week, how about you pick something that you enjoyed? One
Okay.
thing, one thing.
I have a couple things actually, but
Oh, cool.
my favorite moments are when after Carrie has consulted with Dahlia and then she's getting dressed up for Halloween, when she was trying to be sexy in the mirror. And she was
Right.
like making faces and like shimmying her shoulders and she kept saying sexy, sexy to herself, like that was gonna, I don't know, bring something out in her. It was so cute. It's one of those moments, and there are many, where I just am so in love with Carrie. I just think she's like the sweetest, cutest person ever.
Yeah, I mean, and it was funny because last week you talked about Carrie and specifically the way that Sophia Oxenham, slumps her shoulders or changes her body posture in order to de-sexify herself. And like, she comes in and a crone. Did you call me a crone? Like, what? I mean, like it was just like, I mean, especially after last week's conversation, like it was like, well, yeah, like okay, it's like a personification of exactly what you were talking about. But yeah, like it was funny that when she was putting on those faces in the mirror, a couple of them, I was just like, wow, she doesn't even look like Carrie at this point with those particular faces on, or the puckering of the lips, or whatever. Okay.
Her outfit was fire, though. I loved it.
All right, so I really maybe not my favorite part, but like one of the things that I really enjoyed about this was I grew up like when I was 12, I read Stephen King's It for the first time. And I'm not going to say I fell in love with it because it was terrifying and I didn't understand a lot of the jokes because I was 12 and I didn't know what a-hole meant. I thought it was just saying a hole and I didn't know what that was.
That's cute.
But so I, fell into Stephen King hard. So I read dozens of books by Stephen King and seeing all of her fear books kind of in the vein of Stephen King, number one being Intimacy, her covered in blood just like on the front of Carrie. Well, specifically, Sissy Spacek's version of Carrie in the film, and then, and so like there's that whole, all the Stephen King references that at least that I picked up on, or I thought I picked up on, but it may just be like Halloween style references, but the fact that she was already covered in blood. Because the box blew up blood at her, and she looked like she did on the cover of the picture. I thought that was funny, and so yeah, I did enjoy the lists and the way that she identified which one was her biggest fear. And I will say that not noticing a snake in the toilet, and then sitting down on the toilet, and then the snake crawls up my bum, and then I've got a snake in my bum. It was absolutely an irrational fear of mine when I was a child. But for me, it was Freddy Krueger. And what if I sit down and Freddy Krueger sticks his finger up my bum and I'm terrified of it? And
That would be horrible.
so I understood the fear of the snake up the bum fear.
Yeah. And the bears callback was good. I have my reasons.
Bears. Well, I have reasons.
I also enjoyed the look and feel of some of the books. They were very reminiscent to me of YA books that I got at like the Scholastic Book Fair back in the
Yeah,
day.
like the
They had
R.L. Stine and the Goosebumps and
I'm a generation ahead of you. So for me,
fair enough.
it was, let's see, Girls of Canby Hall. And I was pre, let's not get into it. A lot of Lois Duncan. There were a lot of Lois Duncan books in my teen years, Judy Blume. And then I found trash sci-fi. So from there I was just like off
On
on a,
another level.
yeah, that was a whole different thing. You don't get those at the Scholastic Book Fair. You have to get those elsewhere. Same with a friend of mine bought a grocery bag full of Harlequin romances at a garage sale for like a dollar, and we passed those around to all the girls in 8th grade. Yeah, that might explain some stuff actually. But anyway, yeah, Jen's bookstore continues to be like the best thing about this season. It's
Yeah,
the
no,
gift that keeps
I'm
on giving.
totally looking forward to seeing more of it. So we've
What's the name of the life coach guy?
the
George,
doctor,
right? Yeah.
yeah, I think so.
He was like, oh, times your nan called you fat. Does that go into family trauma wing or the body image shelf? I thought was really a great line and pretty awesome. Do you want to know what the other signs were that I saw that are
Sure,
new?
by all means.
There was a sign, there was a section called Fights with Mom. Another one that was called ABBA Through Alcohol. I have no idea what that's all about. There was a bust of someone with a little sign on it that says favorite teacher. Pointless lyrics, potential rap names. I can't remember if we saw those last time. Her fear books are about bears and cancer. Cancer was number 87. Bears was number 15, which is just a lot of books. There's another one of the fears, the one about the snake in the toilet, is number 5,679. That's just how many fear books that she has in her brain. And we already talked about the blood and the screaming and the intimacy book, but yeah.
I did like the tagline of the intimacy book.
Oh, what was the tagline? I missed it.
Don't stand so close to me emotionally. I was like, that's awesome. It was like, don't
Is
stand so
good.
close to me, period, emotionally, period.
Yep.
That was
Yeah.
really good.
Oh,
But yeah, so all right, so let's go ahead and we'll start with Jenna intimacy. We've covered a bit of it already,
yeah.
but kind of all right, so we in the bookstore, we identify a number of fears, and she, identifies the intimacy. So his homework to her is to tell someone that she loves them without turning it into a joke or sarcasm or any of your other normal, just say, tell someone that you love them and mean it. And we only get two scenes of this. I wish that this was like a more a more running gag, like if she tried to do it with Carrie, or she tried to do, tried to ran into Andy or something like that. I don't know that she actually loves her half sister, but whatever.
Yeah.
But so the Jizz Lord portion, I thought I this one I actually did, like, honest to God, laugh out loud at. And she's just like blathering on. She's very much, she's like, I'm gonna come straight to the point. I'm not gonna procrastinate. I mean, I and what I'm
Yeah,
re what I'm
very Ted
saying,
Lasso. Yeah.
very Ted Lasso. I'm literally quoting Ted Lasso in my head. Oh,
Pro, very good. Cress,
what's
Cress.
the etymology of that word? Like, and she just keeps going. And then I did like some of her, I love you, bro.
Fucking love you, bro. Yeah, I mean,
Like, hey, did you say love? What are you, the love police? ACAB. I mean, I didn't know what ACAB was.
oh, I can tell you.
Oh, okay.
It stands for, oh, my computer just did a weird thing and opened something in front of my notes. That's okay, give me a second. All right. ACAB stands for all caps. ACAB stands for all cops are bastards. And it's a saying that is sort of generated by Antifa and lefty groups, but that's been co-opted as like slang in pop culture.
Slang for what?
Like all cops are bastards. It's just like sort of a general, like, don't be a narc, don't go to the
Oh,
police,
because she
don't.
was referring to the love police. Got it. Okay. Yeah. No, I that went under my head. Not, I mean, because I would be so much beyond that language. Anyway. So yeah, like that was funny. And then I will just say that the portion of the episode that actually focused on the message that she left her mom,
Yeah, that was good.
like the first the message that she left, which was reasonably sweet, but you could tell she was very awkward in saying it,
Also,
and
she was trash talking her mother right up to the end of the beep.
right. Well, that was so funny. And she immediately goes into the softer voice of, oh, hey, mom, just want to, but when her mom shows up and she says, mom, what are you doing here? And your message, are you being held hostage? I was like, that she did sound like someone who was being held hostage and was being, oh, hey, this is a code for you to show up and save me.
Yeah.
I thought that that aspect of this was pretty funny.
Yeah, I've seen it before, but
Yeah, I
yeah.
mean, I'm not saying that it was groundbreaking. I was just saying I found that those now I did not particularly care for her mom being as doltish as she was with the whole exorcism. Oh, it turns out he was just Portuguese. And I like lovely fellow, but I was talking to the priest. I just like none of it hit for me.
It
And
wasn't funny to me at all. Whereas she could have had a story that didn't involve victimizing some poor person that was about how she was obsessed with exorcism movies, or that she, had a weird priest when she grew up who told them all about how to do exorcisms.
yeah, it could have been literally anything else, and I might have enjoyed it more.
All I could think was like, that's a horrible story.
Yeah, but this is what I
Told
mean.
you,
Like,
like, I don't know, maybe I'm just cranky.
no, but I think I feel like we're kind of on the same page here, though. Is that there were a number of good ideas and poorly executed.
I also thought that the mom's Halloween costume was sort of like a little bit of a fat joke. Like, it's funny because she's an older woman and she doesn't have like a svelte figure that she would be wearing a skin tight silver outfit, I guess. But like, I didn't get the joke.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't even know who she was supposed to be.
Right. I was like, is she an alien? Is she a disco princess? What's happening?
She's a disco slut. Yeah, no, I was like, all I can say is How I Met Your Mother did it better. The Slutty Pumpkin story will live in my head forever. And every year they would come back and you have to try to go find the Slutty Pumpkin. And it was great. And unfortunately, this one just didn't hit. And which, as you said, is just disappointing. All right, so that one, those were basically the only portions of Jen versus intimacy that we got.
Well, but then, of course, when she really does come through with it and sincerely tells Carrie how much she loves her.
Oh,
And
I
that,
didn't even think about that she actually executed her mission. Or her homework with Carrie. I did, honest to God, didn't even notice it because I was like, this, oh, it's like Frozen. It's what really brought it out was love.
it was on the good place, like exactly on the good place, the like. Holding the person with both your hands and telling them rapid fire all the things you know about them that are really specific, and then that finally that you love them and that makes the person like remember who they are was very well executed on The Good Place just not very long ago. And I was like, oh, Chidi and Eleanor, like I just
That, I mean,
I
that is an amazing show. And as far as recommendations go, it's a pretty gosh dang good one.
yes.
But anyway.
Anyway, but she did eventually finish the homework and had that very sincere speech to Carrie that saved Carrie from the evil Dahlia. So, that was sweet. That was really nice.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Like I said, I thought I didn't even realize that it was a part of that plot point because I completely missed it.
Yeah, they were merging the plots.
Got it.
I want to just jump back a minute to something earlier in
Sure.
the show. One of the things I like about this show is that it has a hipness to it and there's lingo. And so Jen, when they're watching like some old, public domain and therefore
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Cheap horror movie about a mummy, that is not scary. And for some reason, they've decided Cash is a fraidy cat, which doesn't really make sense because then why was he like
A
trying to be
vigilante,
a vigilante last
right?
season?
Like he was going into Bullet's way, but he's a pussy.
He's afraid of, And using the word pussy for somebody who's afraid, generally, I am very offended by that. But the fact that then she apologized to Jizz Lord, I was like, oh, for the joke. Okay. All right. Anyway, she refers to the Mummy movie as NAFF, NAFF. And the sort of first level context is that it means lame or useless. But it has a long history. And I found an article that we can link in the show notes from The Guardian. And it's just sort of generally the history. The NAFF originally stood for not available for fucking. And it originated in the sort of underground gay scene in the UK and was used to refer to like straight people that showed up at like a gay bar or a gay party, and they'd be like, oh, don't bother, that's he's naff. And that sort of evolved over the decades to mean like lame or stupid or campy even. And sometimes it's got a little bit of a campy, kitschy, and therefore almost cool again connotation to it.
Gotcha.
But for the most part, it means useless. Like, not available for fucking means like that person isn't like worth your time. So the
Right.
movie is like, it's not going to scare us anyway. It's impotent. It's not available to fuck with our heads. Kind of. That's what that means.
Okay.
And I like learning new slang. So yay, naff.
Well, I mean, as we learned in She-Hulk, I did not know that drip was clothing, and now I do.
And I'm starting to see it everywhere.
Right. I've heard it way more since I saw it on that show. All right. So, next plot point, Jizz Lord's cat ventures.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure he had sex with that white cat.
So I'm just gonna not much dialogue here, right? So we'll just go over his adventures. He turned into a cat by eating the salmon, or I'm assuming it was the salmon. We actually got to watch him transform. Sort of. I mean, he shrunk anyway. And then he was watching squirrels or birds on the computer so that he would go to sleep and not be subject to capital gains taxes.
I play those videos for my cat on the TV all the time. There's like out like several hour long videos on YouTube of birds at a bird feeder or like squirrels at a squirrel feeder. And I gotta say, like I'll put them on when I'm just in the house and doing something else, and I'll put them on to see if my cat enjoys them. And they're just the most lovely background companion. There's like little bird noises and the wind blowing in the leaves. It's really nice.
I guess prior to this, the reason he became a cat was because he's arguing with someone. Now, I don't quite understand how he's subject to capital gains tax unless Nora sold their home in the last 4 years.
Stocks or something.
Yeah, I just like I'm trying to understand.
We don't have enough information, and this is another area where I'm like, anyone who like that's a it's just an annoying tiny piece of information. And if he had just said tax and not capital gains tax,
Right.
it would have been more relatable. But maybe that's a more common in the UK. I don't
Yeah, I don't know. Just because I know that I was at one point subject to capital gains tax, and so I know a little bit about it because I had to learn about it because I was looking to avoid them the same way that he was. The but so so then I did think that the opening that oh, there's a rat in here. And like, why would you do that to me? I thought it was empty. I mean, I thought that was entertaining.
I thought it
But
was a missed opportunity for a what's in the box joke. What's in
yeah,
the
I could see that.
box? I'm very partial to that joke, to what's in the box, though,
Right.
so I might be biased.
But there was so much like the music was trying to build tension and I. Just sort of just like looking at Cash, like literally just like, what are you doing? Why are you, you can put your hand in, but I don't know what the deal is. Like his the face just completely did not match the tone of what it felt like they were trying to do. And maybe they were trying to do something. It was like, oh, it's so ridiculous that he won't put his hand in a box. But then I did think the rat being in there was funny, and both Cash and Jen freaking out was entertaining. And so he becomes a cat, and then, oh, there's this white cat outside on the porch. All right, I guess I need to figure out how to get out to go find this cat and then give my signature Jizz Lord orgasm sound or
Do you think
orgasm meow.
the white cat was an Alice in Wonderland reference, like a white rabbit?
I don't know because Alice never fucked the White Rabbit, so I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a bad reference, but I mean, like, I just was like, okay, so he's following a cat. All right,
Yeah.
we go to the cat's love nest, I guess, which is up on the roof in this very specific spot. It looked almost like a an area that was set up and for loving.
Yeah.
In the cat world, and then goes off to a party, and then, like literally, then just goes and tries to eat a chicken and get caught in a trap, then attempts to get neutered, and then like the little paw that you saw knocking the needle off of the like it was like so over the top campy. It was like, this has got to be on purpose that they're
It
making
reminded
this
me
so
of
bad.
Toonses. Do you remember Toonses on Saturday Night Live? The driving cat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like the corny fake paw was very Toonses to me.
I mean, but again, if more of the show had hit and where they played more into the camp
Yeah.
or whatever, I feel like it could have been more like self-referential. And irreverent. But then, you know, we see Reggie get pushed out. Actually, I guess that was that how he it was with Tito. He was being chased by Tito and his friends, and then that's how he found the chicken, right? And then,
Yeah.
or no, it was after that. It was after that because he escaped from the vet, and then Tito and his friends were chasing him, chased him up a tree, and that was where he ended up
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're
waking
right.
up. Yeah. And, you know, I thought that the in waking up in a tree, kind of like American Werewolf in London, you know, waking up in a tree, like, okay, you know, I was like, all right, sure. American Werewolf in London matches the theme, and you turn it into a joke, and okay, sure. But again, not groundbreaking, not something I've never seen before. And let me be very just clear about this. It's not that I'm disappointed in the writers or the show. It's that the bar has been set so high by the writing and
Yeah,
the
the first
performances so
season
far.
was so good. They're competing against themselves.
It's like I'm not gonna not watch this in favor of some other show that has an Halloween episode. But I mean, I just like I was okay, no, seriously, we gotta shut down the negativity, right?
Yep. If you do
Positive.
like a really great Halloween episode, I highly recommend the Buffy the Vampire Slayer Halloween episodes. They are iconic and highly entertaining, and we have a podcast that covers them as well. So,
Weird. We have a
yeah,
podcast that covers it.
they are actually iconic, though. They're really,
Are they?
truly fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah.
I think they did amazing work through the years on those, and you know, I really, as I said, I really enjoyed the How I Met Your Mother running gag. Same thing with Friendsgiving. Like I thought that show did it very, very well.
Yeah.
Maybe with 8 episodes per season, like don't waste one on a
Yeah.
Halloween episode that, in my opinion, didn't work. Anyway, okay, so now moving on to the main course, and we've already talked about a bunch of this already,
Yeah,
but
the actual exorcism.
yeah, the exorcism of Carrie Jackson, and you know, you addressed like my notes for Dahlia are Dahlia's not great. Let me see.
I wrote, I don't enjoy this Dahlia character at all. I love the idea of Carrie not being able to get rid of one of the spirits. I think
Yes,
that is
I think,
brilliant.
again, I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I just this one, this horrible, unlikable character. Like, think about what they did with the King, was it Charles character
Yeah, King
last
Charles, yeah.
season? I mean, he was not a good person, but he was
Sure.
fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I just didn't find Dahlia funny at all.
I think my notes here are characters over the top. I'm not sure if that was talking about Cash or that was talking about Dahlia. I'm assuming it was talking about Dahlia. I did enjoy the blue eyes off to the side in the bookcase. But then I thought that the quote unquote fight scene was weak. It was like, oh, I'm going to come at you with a knife and we'll walk slowly down this hall.
And then the like I said, the inflatable penis, like, ha ha,
yeah, I
inflatable.
mean, I could see it. Like, you're in a gag, like, given that they have the Margaret Thatcher, outfit, and like, I get why they have that.
I've
but
seen that party stores always have stuff like that.
I
But
also
they have tons of them. So they could have done, like, there's like bachelorette party
yep,
section is
absolutely.
Like full of penis stuff. Like, they might as well have gone like all the way and had the penis necklaces and the penis flashlights and the penis whistles and like all the penis stuff come into play.
So then, Jen starts throwing penis straw toppers at her, or if you just had like the running gag of penis stuff throughout the episode.
And this character,
sure.
Dahlia, is like some kind of sex
She's a
monster
man-eater,
who
right.
likes grabbing penises. So make her grab some penises. Like,
yeah.
And
make her fall down and grab one of the penises to hold herself up. Like, no, absolutely. Like I said, missed opportunities. I didn't, like, outside of it being a trope in horror movies, like, why did Jen drop the flashlight? Like, she screamed and then dropped the flashlight. Why wouldn't you hold on to the flashlight tighter? Like you don't have a reflex for you when you tense up, you let go of things.
It's true. Letting go is the hardest thing to do when you're scared.
When they get her tied up and, or re-tied up, and Jen's mom shows up, and then the exorcism itself, like, it just, like I said, it just didn't hit for me. Like, I didn't understand why there was thunder happening. I guess it was a powerful actual thing happening or something. I don't know. You've got she's got crow's feet already, and Cash is talking shit about Carrie, and I just, yeah, I
yeah, don't pick on our Carrie. We love her.
Yeah, I just, and Cash was such a ridiculous character. Like, to take something that, hey, he's just a scaredy cat, based on someone who wanted to go get into the middle of things last season. It just makes, if he was like trying to save Carrie instead of just being scared, I did think that it was funny that he started singing A Christmas Carol and,
right,
the
or
top of the stairs.
If his fears were more specific, like, there's something very funny about someone, because he was kind of a coward in the end with the
That's true.
vigilantism, but he thought he was brave. And in this episode, he was like, no, I'm afraid of everything. If he had been like specifically afraid of witches or spiders or bats, they could have made that work in a Halloween episode. But for him to be like, I'm afraid of everything, didn't ring true. And therefore, it was distracting from the episode. From the whatever. Wasn't funny.
So, unfortunately, like, I would not give this. I'm glad we don't do ratings, because I would not particularly care for it. It sucks, but
it was just a disappointment. Yeah,
I'm really, really hoping that that the next episode brings me back.
Yeah, I hope so too. I do have one question for you, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
If you had Carrie's ability to call on a dead person to teach you a skill, who would you call on? And what would you get them to teach you?
Ooh, that's a really, really good question. I would say that it would have to be, given that this is what I enjoy doing, it would have to be someone with the ability to influence, like with speaking. And like, and I'm sure I could take a class to that, but as a classic, hey, who's going to help you get over a breakup? Oh, Princess Di. She's going to help you create yourself or recreate yourself. I mean, if I could pick anyone, even if they're not dead, I mean, Barack Obama, he is a phenomenal speaker.
Yeah,
He is
really
a
gifted.
like a just phenomenal. Whether you like his politics or not, his speaking ability and his
It's
intonation,
undeniable.
it
And his
is
comedic
so,
timing. That's
yeah.
what's always really impressed me about him, on top of everything else, that it shows off his intelligence so much, how well he is able to time jokes.
So speaking of that, you know what? This ties into both the comedic and that. I would call back George Carlin.
Oh,
And
good choice.
I would, because he was seminal to my youth, I would ask him to teach me, like, not even write jokes for me, just to give me the hint, because I can take little bits and pieces of what, right? Because he would take things that come that bring us together, right? What's the same for everybody? Those two lines below your nose, just above your lip, like what are those called? No one fucking knows. Like, that
Cupid's
I
bow.
can, yeah, I can. What's that?
This is called your Cupid's bow, this right here.
Cupid's bow? That's like the
Yeah.
scientific term for it? That's
It's
crazy.
because of the shape of how the top of your lips make like a bow and arrow shape, like a bow shape.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see it. Yeah, I had no idea that
The only
was
reason I know that is because
called.
of makeup tutorials where they're like, and then
Oh.
apply to here, and then apply to your Cupid's bow, and then apply to your chin. So,
Oh,
Cupid's
okay.
bow.
But yeah, no, George Carlin was a great speaker. He could ride the line between comedic and dramatic. Yes, he
So
was
smart, so smart.
wildly, wildly irreverent. And, but as you say, practically a social genius. I don't know
Yeah.
if he was like a trained genius, but he could identify human behaviors, and he could just pick them apart and point out the like identify the most inane what was it when this the opposite of things? It's not
Hypocrisy?
hypocrisy,
Contradictions?
contradictions, yes, contradictions in people's behaviors, right?
Yeah.
And this is a common one now, but like one of the things that people talk about is like, oh, pro-life, what about when after they're born? Before you're
Nuts.
born, you're good to go. Before after you're
After,
born, you're
fuck
fucked.
you.
I was just like, that's actually a really good point. And I'm sure
Yeah.
that he wasn't the first person to think about that, but it was the first person to make me think about that. And it yeah, so I George Carlin, and I would just love to talk to him just because he'd be
Yeah.
one of my guests for dinner, for my dead table. How about you?
Carrie Fisher. And I don't know what I would want specifically to learn from her, but I idolize her and the way that she lived her life so honestly and bravely in the face of a pretty debilitating mental illness. And her comedic wit, the fact that she was the script doctor on like half of Hollywood's hits in the 90s and the early 2000s, it's like this unsung hero thing. And I just have gotten to a point where I just assume anything funny in a movie from that era was written by her. I would love to spend time just basking in her presence. The
So
other answer I had was going to be Marilyn Monroe. I've read a lot of things about her that say that she was able to turn her star charisma on and off at will, and I would love to do that.
teach you charisma and or at
Yeah.
least fake charisma.
Yeah, and how to control it.
I was just saying, it's got to be a miserable experience, like in life, though, to maybe not be able to have that. like have like be mean it, right? So I don't know that I am necessarily charismatic, but when I'm talking about something, I like I'm feeling it in the moment. And maybe she did when she would speak of things or whatever. But I mean, part of the joy that I have is actually living in those moments of feeling and emotion. And that makes
it
me
being
wonder.
Sincere.
Yeah. And the sincerity of it is what makes it, you know, exude from you. That's a good one though. Funny story, funny story necessarily, but a funny coincidence that both George Carlin, who is mine, and Carrie Fisher, who is one of yours, were both in the about a 5-minute clip of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back together.
Oh, yeah?
They weren't together. Yep.
But they were the same. That's great.
Yep. George Carlin was a hitchhiker who listed off one of the unwritten rules of the road was to give head to the driver as basically as a favor to get you, as a hitchhiker. And then he taught that to Jay.
The saying is cash, grass, or ass, right? Like you either pay in money or drugs or sex.
Yeah. And then he teaches that to Jay, and then Jay tries to go down on Carrie Fisher as a nun.
Oh,
because he's like, oh, it's
I need
the
to see that movie. I haven't seen it. That's funny.
It's the rule of the unwritten book of the road. And then they get in the car with Carrie Fisher, and she's like, oh, do you follow the book? You follow the book, sister?
Oh
yes. And is it, do you also follow the book? He's like, I guess. it's just funny because they were literally in the movie like 2 minutes apart. And very short cameos, but those are good. I like those. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back. Stay with us. And we're back. And moving on to some news. We have none. We don't want any spoilers because we want to go watch the rest of the episodes, except for this one other little piece of news that Penny is going to talk about.
Yeah, so Bill L. Hosno, who plays Cash, has another series out. It's on Tubi, which is a free streaming service. There are 8 episodes. It's very bingeable, and I can tell you this because I binged the entire thing.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Called Dead Hot, and it's a little bit Pretty Little Liars. The premise is that Bill L. Hosno's character and his best friend had 5 years earlier lost her brother, who was also his boyfriend. And so they're sort of trauma bonded and having lost this person together, Peter, and they're living their lives 5 years later, and weird stuff starts happening, and they start digging into the mystery of the disappearance of Peter. And it's very silly. And it's, despite being about disappearing people and murders and stuff, it's fairly light and fun. And I just binged right through it. I would recommend it. It was nice. It was good.
I would not, from the previews, I would not think to myself, this is going to be funny.
Yeah.
Like that's odd.
I don't know if I would call it a comedy, but it was like a light mystery show.
Okay.
Parts of it were funny. Certainly a lot of the actors were funny.
I mean, was it kind of like, what was the show that you covered, Dead to Me? Where there are funny parts to it, but it's kind of dark matter.
Dark material, with funny characters in a dark situation.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll have to check that out.
I liked it.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and just apologize. I know that we are a little bit, not a little bit, we're way slow on this. And one episode will have just come out a few days ago because of pauses and trying to get things to done. But it'll be worth the wait. But hopefully we'll enjoy next episode, and then the next time we record, we'll be a little maybe back to form in the show. I'm looking forward to it. But so we'll have to go back and check on listener feedback again before the next episode. We didn't see any this time, but at this point, we're going to go ahead and call it into the show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
You can find links to our social media pages and other shows. Speaking of other shows, one of the things that Jason and Lucy are doing from Walking Dead cast, the cast of us, is for Patreon members, the tangent time. So basically they took tangents that they're asking for ideas about, and they're just talking about it. And I really enjoyed, you know, finding out their career paths, Lucy's adventures as a whiskey distillery or a distillery hostess tour guide. And then they were talking about her book that she just finished and some of the poetry from it. I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah, I've been enjoying those as well. You have to be a member of the Patreon group for that. It's well worth your time and money. And I already referred to it earlier, but I am doing a Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewatch with Kara on Still Slaying, a Buffyverse podcast. And we're having a blast doing it. So we'd love to have more people join us and participate in the feedback and everything.
One thing that I did kind of think that the doctor said that was funny, or not the doctor, but the vet said that was funny. He says something about, you know, we don't want to be a father. It's too much responsibility. And I was like, oh, this is like the exact situation that Jess Lord's in right now. He doesn't want to be a father.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. But speaking of fathers, I did start listening to a non-Podcastica podcast called The Dumb Dads. And you might have seen them on Instagram. Their dad parent or press conferences are, I think, really, really funny. And they basically look like two of the dads from The League. Nice. They just look worn down and just exhausted all the time. And it's pretty comical. Not to push non-Podcastica shows, but that one I am finding entertaining as the father of a couple of young children.
Yeah, I bet. If you like what we're doing, give us a 5-star rating, write a review, follow us, subscribe, whatever the thing is on the platform that you use. The more ratings and reviews we get, the higher we show up in search results and other listeners can find us.
And we will try to be a little bit more on time for you guys. We appreciate it. But speaking of next time on the show, we'll be covering season 2, episode 4, Ready to Rumble.
It's a very promising title.
And then I have to wash my clothes and then dry my clothes and then wear my clothes and then wash them again. And it never ends.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.